and welcome to Learning for Life at Gustavus, the podcast about people teaching and learning at Gustavus Adolphus College, and the myriad ways that Gustavus liberal arts education provides a lasting foundation for lives of fulfillment and purpose. I'm your host, Greg Castor, faculty member in the Department of History. If you ask me what or where my happy place is, near the top of my list would be a city coffee house with reliably excellent coffee, some good scratch-made breakfast and lunch food, natural light, of course, and a table where I can read, write, and grade unbothered for hours at a time, or meet people for afternoon coffee and conversation. Part of the draw for me, too, as an academic and historian, is the historical association of coffeehouse culture with intellectual, political, and artistic life. You can think of Vienna in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, for example. Much closer in time and space is one of my favorite coffee houses anywhere, River Rock Coffee and Tea in St. Peter, Minnesota, just blocks away from the Gustavus campus, which I've been happily frequenting since it first opened many years ago. There's also a newer location in nearby Mankato, which I have yet to try, but am eager to do so. Numerous Gusties, Gustavus students have worked at River Rock over the years, and one of them, my guest today, went on to become a co-owner. Elena Shanks graduated from Gustavus with a chemistry major in 2012. She began working at the original River Rock the year before and became a co-owner of it in 2017 and of the Mankato location 2 years later. When I learned she was both a co-owner and Gustavus alum, I knew immediately that we had to record an episode for the podcast, and I'm so happy she can join me now to talk about both her story, River Rocks, and also the intersections between the two. So, Helena, welcome to the show. It's really great to have you on.
Oh, thanks, Greg. I'm happy to be here. That was a really special intro. Thank you.
You're quite welcome, and I mean every word of it, too. It just occurred to me when I was reading that, I must have seen you at River Rock probably when you were a student working there, I would imagine, but we can get into that.
I definitely, remember that. I feel like you were a familiar face to me, but I was a little afraid of talking to professors back then.
likewise, you were instantly a familiar face to me, and I'm sure that's why. I don't know why it just took me now to realize. Of course, it makes sense. And thank you. You're doing this on kind of, it's not really a day off, but kind of. I mean, I know you're still doing other work, but you're not at the store at the coffee house. So I appreciate you taking the time out.
Of course.
And you know, I've been looking forward to this. So, and by the way, everybody, I'm heading to River Rock literally to meet someone right after we finish this recording. It's 1:30 on Monday, April 22nd, and I'm heading to River Rock when I'm done. So anyway, I like to start with people's backgrounds. I just find that interesting. And, you know, as a historian, I'm really drawn to that. So tell us a little bit about you, where you grew up and what some of your interests were when you were younger.
Yeah, so I grew up in the Fargo-Moorhead area. I mostly lived in Moorhead, Minnesota, my whole life until the age of 18. I went to Moorhead public schools, and then I went to Oak Grove, a private school in Fargo, for my 7th through 12th grade education.
Was that a Catholic school or?
It was a Lutheran school. Oh, okay. So it was actually kind of associated too with Concordia College in Moorhead.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Called it. Yeah. 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 Yeah, so my mom, growing up, she was the director of community education in Moorhead and also served on the city council.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, kind of early introduction into the value of education at a young age and also public service, too. And then my dad was a custodian at Concordia, so I was kind of always around some academic places.
Yeah, that's from a young age. Oh, see, I love this. I learned so much already. So, that's cool. How long was your mom, how long was she on the city council? For more than one term? Or?
Definitely more than one term. I want to say it was close to 3 terms. That's or maybe lot. More. She was the mayor pro tem of Moorhead too. So wow. Vice mayor. And she also ran for the House of Representatives in Minnesota too.
Oh, that's great. Wow. Yeah. Very cool. And your dad did your parents, your dad was a custodian. Did your parents go to, my dad did not go to college. My mother went to a 2-year teacher's college. But did your parents go to college?
Yeah, my mom went to NDSU, so she grew up in Fergus Falls and then went to
Okay.
NDSU. And then my dad did not graduate from college, but he got a job at Concordia and worked there for, I want to say, 15 plus years. So
Wow.
through that, like I was able to get, some help with my tuition when I chose to go to college, and
Yeah.
specifically one that was in the MIAC conference.
Right. I'm
Yeah,
trying
and
to
my
think,
mom
was
also
it,
taught some classes at Morehead too.
oh, really? Like in like political science, or
Yep.
what was she?
I think it was more education based. So she
Education.
went to school for home ec, and then she went back and got her master's degree. So
Okay.
she worked with like early childhood community education for a long time, and then went on to the community ed program.
Okay, I now have visions of you running for office and winning, but that's another story. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's interesting. My dad ran for village mayor where I grew up, but later in his life and lost.
Yeah.
But you know, I had that example too. That's really great. And did your dad, like when he left that job, did he go on to do something else, or is that the job he retired from?
No, he actually, so my parents got divorced, and so eventually he moved to Texas. So
Okay.
he stopped working at Concordia sometime while I was in college.
Okay. Yeah. All right. All interesting. And what about siblings? I have one younger brother who's, by the way, married to my wife's cousin. I don't know. I haven't
Oh
told you that.
my
They
gosh.
met. They met at our wedding, and I predicted it. I'm so proud of that. I predicted it that night.
Oh wow.
Yeah. But do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I do have an older brother, David. So he went to Concordia for a couple years. He chose to drop out and then has held down jobs ever since then. He still lives in like the Fargo-Moorhead area. He's like active in roller derby and
Oh wow. God,
all
that's
sorts of
amazing.
interesting things up
Holy
there.
cow.
But
That's amazing.
yeah.
That is on my list of places. There's so much to see in this world, including just to Minnesota. I've never been there, but want
Fargo
to.
has gotten really cool the last couple of years. The downtown area has really come to have a lot more interesting food and beverage options. They have some
Yeah.
specialty coffee shops now too.
Huh.
I'm sure I didn't notice those things when I was younger, but
Well,
now
I was
going
just going to
back as an
ask you.
adult, I feel like there's things to enjoy.
Yeah, they impressed you somehow, I bet you were aware of them.
Yeah.
What subliminal, that's the word I'm looking for. What about what were you doing? Like, what was I doing as a kid? I don't know. I was playing, acting out television shows with friends. I don't know, what were you doing? You weren't making coffee or drinking coffee, obviously, but
No, I
did you have any
definitely
particular
wasn't.
interests, indoors, outdoors, both?
Yeah, luckily growing up in the age without much screen time, I did spend a lot of time outdoors. I had two neighbor friends who were about the same age as me, so most of my childhood was going over to Sarah and Allison's house and playing outside and
Yeah.
wandering around the neighborhood. Yeah, I always had was active in sports. I played a lot of different sports growing up, and that was always important to me. Played a lot of
What'd you play? Oh, soccer?
soccer at a young age, and then eventually settled into volleyball. That was
Oh.
really the sport that kind of landed for me with both my height and moderate agility abilities.
You're being modest. So was there like a high school volleyball team that you were on, or?
Yeah, I played volleyball in high school all 4 years.
Oh,
Got onto varsity the midway through sophomore year, and that was really my niche. And I
wow.
would do
That's
that in the
cool.
spring too. So both it was a fall sport, and then I would do club volleyball in the spring too.
Oh yeah, you were really into it. That's neat. The
Yeah.
we'll come back to volleyball. What about I mean, this is, we're younger. If someone had said to me, what are my academic interests when I was 15? But I did. I know
Yeah.
I had an interest in history. Were there particular subjects that you were interested in?
I was always pretty good at math, and not that like the things that you're good at are also the things you enjoy, but it
Right.
did align in that way for me.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I was always pretty proficient at math, and then always was interested in science too. We had a very large like garden growing up, and I remember like planting seedlings with my dad and tending to the garden. It was pretty prolific. And then, second grade is maybe my earliest memory of like growing a seed
Oh yeah, that's cool.
in science class, and that tree is actually still in my front yard that I
Oh my
grew in
God.
second grade.
Wow.
So
What kind of
I had
tree is
some
it?
interest in that. It's a honey locust tree.
Oh geez.
which drop insane amounts of like seed pods all
stuff,
over.
Yeah, right.
So,
but, oh, you can't, you cannot cut.
My parents were happy to take care of that.
That's awesome. Wow. I thought you were going to say like first tomato or something, or cucumber. Wow. That's so cool.
No, no.
That is really
cool.
Yeah,
yeah. So math and science were interesting to me at a young age, I would say.
Okay. What about, but as you're in your senior year of high school, you're thinking of, was it kind of a given that you would go to college because of the connections your parents had?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I grew up 6 blocks from Concordia.
Like, oh, yeah, that's...
You know, I would see the college students and they always seemed like so old to me. I was like, that looks cool, like what they're doing. They just seem like cool, interesting people. And then my mom was very strongly like opinionated on like education, not in a negative way, but
right.
It always was in the cards for me. I never once thought that maybe I wouldn't go to college.
Yeah. Same here. I think, at least that's what I remember. Same, even though my dad didn't go to college, it was, you know, just that emphasis on knowledge. I could still hear, it's an old phrase, but knowledge is power and education. similar. We're lucky. I mean, I think that's a gift. Not all kids get that.
Absolutely.
So you said you went to, let's see, well, you didn't go to Concordia, or did you? You came straight to Gustavus for college, or how did that work?
I went straight to Gustavus. You know, I applied to a number of schools. I really wanted to go to St. Olaf, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of that had to do, my older cousin, she was maybe 10 years older than me, and I watched her go off to college and actually like went and stayed with her when I was in 7th grade and got to kind of see what that was like. And she was really a role model for me. She was a major in math and was very mathematically inclined too. And so I kind of wanted to follow in her footsteps. But
sure.
So I applied to St. Olaf, and I also applied to Gustavus. My grandpa had went to Gustavus.
Oh,
and my uncle did too.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And of course, Concordia too. So,
wow. So first of all, I'm writing that down. It's your grandfather and uncle, huh? So there's always some pretty amazing. What was there something that clicked with you about Gustavus? Was it just they made a better offer, or what? Why Gustavus in the end?
Yeah, this sounds like not the best answer, but you know, I got waitlisted at St. Olaf. So my first option that I wanted, I was waitlisted, and Gustavus, it was actually a year that my aunt accompanied my uncle to one of their reunions. And she was the mother of this cousin that I was talking about. And she knows me quite well. And I remember her talking to me. She's like, oh, I went to the reunion at Gustavus. And I really could see you going there, like just how the students interacted with each other, how active they were. It just seems like a good place that you would fit in. And I remembered really enjoying my tour too. And I had like a very, supportive tour guide. There were some places I toured where I kind of felt, somewhat dismissed in my interest that I had. And I felt very heard and engaged with, and even as like a little 17-year-old during my tour. So those are some of the reasons I chose to go there. And I was also hoping to play volleyball at Gustavus too.
Well, I wondered about that. Yeah. So were you being recruited for volleyball at all or not? Like different schools?
No, I wasn't. I just had, a desire to not stop playing.
Yeah.
When I was 18 and playing in the spring of the spring league of my senior year, I hurt my shoulder. And so some of those last tournaments I didn't get to play. And I actually had to have shoulder surgery. So, I kind of wanted to keep my career going. And unfortunately got cleared to start practicing about 2 weeks before tryouts. But I think, blessing in disguise. I didn't make the volleyball team, but, started playing intramurals at Gustavus too, which was probably a more balanced way to approach some activities and also trying to get your feet wet with the academics of college.
Yeah, that's a good point. Boy, I love volleyball. I'm picturing you doing volleyball too. You must have been a killer player, like at the net. Where were you? Did you play one kind of position or all over the place?
Yeah, I was a middle hitter. So it's, the tallest person. I was by far the tallest girl in my high school, which when you look at college players, I'm quite short.
Really? Wow.
Nowadays. Yeah.
I did not know that. I only see them on television. I have yet to go to a game here. I podcast with a coach, Rochelle, and we talked about me coming, sitting on the bench. I did not realize that. Yeah. So tall, huh? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some 6'4", 6'7".
Holy cow. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's interesting. Well, it's an awesome sport. Exactly. I goofed around. I mean, I studied, but I, had fun in my own ways. I wasn't part of I quote unquote played tennis now and then, but it wasn't part of a team. I think that's perfectly fine, obviously. Were you already set on chemistry as a major?
Yeah, I think it was maybe my junior year of high school. I had this, both of my science teachers in high school were women. And I guess growing up, seeing my cousin as kind of a role model, the message I was hearing a lot is that there's not a lot of women in STEM. I think that's much more widely accepted now. But, I was just kind of drawn to being a woman in a science or mathematic field. And both my teachers were women in both biology and chemistry. And chemistry, when I took that class, I did really well and I really enjoyed it. It seemed like the right place to kind of fit together my enjoyment of math and of science in a pretty natural way.
That's really interesting about the women. You have a number of women role models, right? Including your mom.
Yeah.
And the role of your aunt, and then the two science teachers, I and your cousin. I think my memory, I can picture my chemistry teacher in high school perfectly. And when I think about it, I cannot think of a single woman I had as a science instructor in high school. They were all men, biology and chemistry and math too, actually, now that I think of it, math also. That's changed. We still have a ways to go, but it is changing. So that's interesting. You were aware of that. The other thing is about chemistry. I took one of those aptitude tests, and my memory is that it showed I should go into chemistry, and I don't know what it was. That's what I remember in high school. I don't even know if I did well in chemistry. I just remember pouring chemicals together. I think we didn't blow anything
which
up.
Which is cool, right?
Yeah, that part was cool. And growing up, like a lot of kids, I had that chemistry set, my brother and I, and trying to blow up the garage or whatever. But was what can you think or articulate what it was about chemistry that you felt that was the fit? I mean, apart from, you can use math. Was it just like mixing stuff together?
Test tubes? Yeah, I mean, that is part of it, right? A lot of science, right, is the scientific method. So you have a hypothesis, you figure out how to test it, and then you see how it went. And so it all seemed very data-driven, which is kind of how my brain works. Mm. I like definite answers. I don't necessarily soft, loose answers, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so it does. It's a good thing you didn't eat major
math
in history.
Seems, exactly. So it just kind of seemed like if you follow this equation and you get all your steps right, you're going to have the result that we're expecting you to get. So I'm not thinking of a great example, but essentially, my application for it today really is like a recipe. You put these two things together, it should have this much rise to it. So that's when you've had the right result. And if those things don't happen, what did you learn? What other things can you do to get the result that you're hoping for? Or I don't know.
Right. No, I mean, you're making me think of Professor Lisa Helke here and others who deal with food, the history of food, the philosophy of food, but also the science, the chemistry of food. There probably is even maybe a J term, I think, on that. Clearly, yeah. I've grown to appreciate that part of, I love River Rock. I love eating. I love good food, good coffee. And I've come to appreciate much more. I mean, even talk to a few chefs, local chefs up in the Twin Cities. Just the amount of thinking and work that goes into a recipe and experimentation, I guess, really, I'm not a chef. I don't do much cooking, but I do like to cook when I do. Anyway, I can relate to what you're saying. That makes perfect sense. So you were doing volleyball intramural. Were you doing anything else co-curricular? That's God knows that's enough on top of being a chemistry major. I'm just curious.
Yeah, I did actually participate. I was in a sorority while I was at
Oh,
Gustavus,
is it
which I
still
never
around?
thought I would be in. It
Yeah.
is, yeah.
What's it?
Theta Psi Gamma.
Okay. Oh, you never thought you'd be in one. How come?
No. Oh, I don't know. There's plenty of stereotypes of sororities in culture.
Right.
And so lots of movies about how they
Yeah.
behave and things
Yes.
like that. And also how they like how you fit into that cookie cutter example of who they want to like let into the sorority. And
Right.
that seemed a little elitist to me, but my experience was very different with the sorority at Gustavus.
What was
It's
the
not
well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's not like a lot of national chapters, so with that it's a little bit more, I don't know, organic to Gustavus life.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What is its focus? Does it have a particular, or did it when you were in it?
Man, I should brush up on some of that, but philanthropy is definitely, I think, the thing that you hear most for our want, like why if somebody should join a sorority is the philanthropy.
Right.
So we put on events for raising money for the Pinky Swear Foundation, which was founded actually or by one of our alumni from the Theta Psi Gamma sorority.
Wow, I didn't know that. Huh.
Yeah, she's active and kind of working for their foundation. But it was raising money for children with cancer.
Yeah.
So it just like kind of got you out into the world a little bit more than sometimes you can be if you just participate in academics at
Right,
Gustavus.
right.
So you get out like into the community and also having the opportunity to raise money and learn about other ways to impact the world too.
Yeah. And you at one point, I saw an article, maybe in the Mankato Free Press, you described yourself as at least having been an introvert. So maybe that was good too to get to. And I was an introvert too, I think, in many ways, to kind of, not necessarily be out in the public a little bit, I guess, but to, interact with other people that you didn't know. I found that part of college, I think, initially kind of hard as my memory. I didn't really make, I didn't know how to make, you know what I mean? I sort of, I don't know. Listen to this. I think I've said this before, this is the honest to God truth. I was so shy that so Northern Illinois University, there's an orientation, and it's sometime in the summer, and it was just, my mother drops me off, and aside from going to the official functions, I didn't leave the dorm room I was in by myself. I was so nervous or afraid and shy. I'm not kidding you. And I didn't eat like the whole weekend. It was crazy. When I look back and I think, what the hell was I, but
Oh
so
no, it
I
was very
understand.
similar for me, Greg. Yeah,
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah,
that
you know what I'm talking about then. Yeah. But we've made progress.
resonates for me.
So did you,
Yes, obviously.
yeah, exactly. Were there, yeah, right. Were there particular professors, whether in chemistry or both outside of chemistry, that you think, looking back, had a particularly important impact on you or a big impact?
I'm failing to forget her last name right now, but actually my first term seminar professor, that was like the best
Oh.
introduction to college classes, I would say.
Yeah.
Because I started college in 2008, so it was during the election year. So
Right.
I actually
Yep.
took a class on the election leading up to it and, reading books by McCain and also by Obama and
Oh,
like really
wow.
making sure to do all of my research on why I would make that choice as to who I was going to vote for
Yeah.
in like a really holistic way. Her name was Karen. She was in the anthropology
Oh,
department. I
Karen,
cannot remember her
was
last.
Karen Larson before she
Yes,
retired?
yes.
Yeah, Karen Larson. Yeah.
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 Yeah,
Wow,
so
Professor Emeritus. Yeah. Yeah, that's
yeah.
cool. Yeah, she was in sociology and anthropology department. Yeah.
Yeah, I also took an anthropology class from her too, and she was just you could tell she was passionate about what she did. She was very almost theatrical in what she did sometimes, but I enjoyed her.
Yeah, that's
And
a
then
cool
also
class to take during the election. That was
yeah.
also your probably when you were voting for the first time, right? Is that right?
It was
That
my
fall?
first presidential election. Yeah.
Yeah,
So,
good
and
timing.
my mom being in politics, like it all kind
Yeah,
of came together in that.
That's really cool. And you were going to say
Yeah, and
something else about
also
another
like
professor. Yeah,
becoming
go
an
ahead.
adult. Yeah,
Oh,
becoming
yeah,
an
right.
adult. You're like
Yes.
trying to figure out the world a little bit. It's still a little insulated being in college. You're not quite out in the world on your own, but you're just it was a good
Right.
way to help also learn more about like a liberal arts college.
Yeah. And I have to say, when I get, you know, it's rare, but sometimes a student who, you know, doesn't grow or is still, I think, oh my God, really? So yes, that's not unimportant. But it's not like you maybe were going to mention another course or so you had the first term seminar.
That sounds cool. Yeah. Brandy Russell was also somebody who just stands out to me.
Yeah.
And she, you know, I didn't take any of these classes while I was in college. I know she does a lot more with, you know, food and relating that to chemistry too. But she was always just like very kind and approachable, I feel like, as a professor.
Yes, I can see that.
My senior year of college, I had quite the spring semester. I think I was taking two chemistry courses and a physics course.
Oh my God.
And it was just a lot to end.
Are you crazy? What happened?
I declared my major late is what happened. I had started off with chemistry and then felt a little intimidated by it and then fell back in love with it. So I had some like credits that I had to sneak in, but she was always very kind and easy to talk to. And sometimes I felt like a little bit of an imposter in the chemistry world, and she was very helpful.
Yeah, well, that's you know, the so-called imposter syndrome. I still have dreams.
Yeah,
I won't get into that here, TMI. But honestly, I mean, it's still so many people. Even someone, you know, I'm 70 and I've been teaching for 38 years at Gustavus, but there's still those moments. Lately, they've been dreams. Thank God they're only dreams. You know,
isn't that crazy? That
crazy.
Still happens. Well.
Yes, it does, and. Yeah, it doesn't happen to my wife, Kate, but it definitely happens to me. Anyway, so cool. So I like that too. I like that you were, so it was kind of a straight line, but not that you know, I don't know if you gave up on the major, but you had your doubts, but then you said something, but I fell back in love with it. I think that's a really important lesson for an individual, but also for especially any current students or prospective students listening. That's good. That's okay, right?
Yeah. It is okay.
And you did well.
I had taken organic chemistry my second semester of freshman year, and you know, the professor introduced it as the weeding out class, and that doesn't necessarily like inspire confidence from the get go.
Yeah, warm and fuzzy. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think people still say it too, but I didn't do very well in that class, and wasn't really reaching out for help either. And so when I went back sophomore year, I was trying to do political science as my major.
Well, that makes sense.
And I enjoyed that. Yeah. But I didn't like it as much. And I had been taking a biology class. I was like, no, this is what I want to be doing. So
that's great. Well, that happens too. It happens with us, the history major people declaring late when they realize, you know, I really, really do love history in this case, but. What the hell? I'm going to come in and major in it. Try to convince them that you'll be fine. There's actually work out there. But did you take any business courses at all, or management courses or econ courses?
Yes, I did take an econ course, and I hated it.
Okay. I'm just curious because I think it's the most recent episode of this podcast is with, Jillian Hiscock, who opened this, a bar of their own, you're a business woman or business person. And in addition to many other things, but you know, she had not, I don't think she had any business. Maybe she had a, you know, gen ed econ course, but any business background. It's just I like these examples of, you know, you don't have to major in something to do. You don't have to major in business to be a business person. You know, you can be a history major and wind up being a doctor or whatever. I mean, this idea.
Absolutely.
That, it's so important. We can't say that enough, I think. So you graduate, obviously. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. And that's 2012. But even before you graduated, right, you're working at River Rock. If I got that right, you were doing and then I also saw somewhere, maybe it was in your LinkedIn page, you were doing I think it said you were a purser for River Keepers. What was that about? Is that when you were an undergraduate too, I think, right?
Kind of, yeah. So that's very funny. You really did your legwork on this. my first college or my first job out of high school was as a purser for River Keepers in Fargo. Basically what they did is they gave boat tours on the Red River in Fargo.
Oh, yeah.
So it would be going on like a little cruise, which was on a pontoon, and giving kind of a talk on like the historical context of the river in Fargo Moorhead, and talking about its history and other things having to do with the river. And also we rented out kayaks and canoes. So,
Were you doing those talks or someone?
You know, luckily I was not. Okay. At the age of 18, I definitely like had the speech down, so I could give the talk if I needed to. But mostly what I did was I stayed in this little hut that was the person who welcomed people who wanted to do the tours or rent out the kayaks. So I was running that little shop.
You're the
and
person.
Balancing the books at the end. Yeah. Got it.
Okay. Well, so there's some experience that serves you well later, obviously.
Yeah.
If you're learning how to balance books. My parents. They were hairdressers, I may have told you, and they often owned their own salons. And I know, I mean, literally how important that is. I did notice that. I assumed that's what was going to be the answer, something like that. And
My mom was on the board for River Keepers, so she definitely helped me learn about that job. But it was cool, and I also got to like go and tour like the water treatment plant because they had connections there. So
that's cool.
Getting to get a little bit more into the chemistry mindset too through that job.
Were you there when it was that where a lot of flooding occurred? I'm trying to remember what year that was.
Had you even been born
yet? I don't know when that was. I'm trying to remember.
Yes, I was born.
Okay.
So 97 was that first historic flood. So
yes,
that
that's
was when
I'm
I was six.
Of. Okay.
So I definitely remember huge snowbanks at that time.
Oh,
but the second one was 2009. And so it was actually over my spring break during my freshman year at Gustavus. And I went back home and I got to sandbag.
Yeah. Was your home okay, I hope? Or?
It was. Yeah. We were evacuated. We're about a block and a half from the river, but we were
close.
Totally fine.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, I certainly had some students who had to. Yeah, that's right. 2009 had to go back. Wow. So, all right, you're in the hut. I mean, so, all right, from there. So, tell us about the thing I love. I used to. Maybe we should. You know what? Back up. We should start with a little history of River Rock. Now we can start with your internship there. So, just tell us a little bit about the place, right? Its origins and its origin story, if you will. Go ahead.
Yeah. So River Rock, as we know it, was founded in 2002. You and I were talking earlier. It was previously River Rock 2 by a couple different owners. But the River Rock we know was founded by Tamika Bertram in 2002. And she had roots out in Berkeley, California.
Right.
So that's, you know, where like the farm to table movement really took off in the U.S. She went to school out in San Francisco. But she was from Minnesota originally, so she had hopes of kind of bringing some of that food and beverage knowledge to Minnesota and also being closer to family members. So she likes to talk about this trip she took across the U.S. visiting small towns and stumbling across sitting really in River Rock and overhearing from the owners that they were looking to sell the business. So she also was looking in Northfield too. So kind of similarity to me, enjoyed Northfield, but she stumbled on St. Peter. And this is a time in St. Peter where I always like to say like people didn't know what hummus was. So there was a lot of knowledge left to be shared,
a lot of education
to be had.
I remember Tamika so well, and we were talking before, as you said, before we started recording, the previous owners Marty and Des, I cannot remember their last names, I would go there as well. And you were saying, just was it just recently that Marty was in River Rock?
He was in there with his family, just pointing things out. Like, this used to be the patio that goes outside, and he was going on for about 5 minutes, and I just had to know who he was and why he knew the things he knew. And
that's Marty.
It was a pretty sweet moment.
Yeah, that's sweet. Yeah, and then Tamika. Yeah, and I know she had the Berkeley connection. I remember my wife Kate and I, when Kate was still working at Gustavus, we went to to visit people in the Bay Area there, and I think we went to the place where Tamika had worked in Berkeley.
Oh, cool.
and then called Tamika from there.
I love that.
It's called her River Rock. Amazing. Yeah, that was great. So one of the things, the reason I wanted to back up and thank you for that history is because I used to tell Tamika and others, anyone who would listen or pretend to listen, that it was then Tamika, maybe it's now you, the Gustavus should give her, you, somebody, an honorary degree because of all of the, an amazing mentoring of, it seems like more women than men, but I know there were some men as well.
Yeah.
Gustavus students who worked at River Rock. And you were one of them, obviously. So tell us a little bit about how that came about. Was it just, hey, there's this place, they're looking for people, I'm going to go work there and earn some money? Or?
Yeah, I mean, that's how it started, really. So I got off-campus permission for my senior year, and I needed a job to pay for my rent. So, I started to put out job applications, and I wasn't really a coffee drinker at that time, but knew that River Rock had like a fair trade sticker on their window. And I had a high school teacher who introduced me to fair trade and actually took me to Mexico and Guatemala where I learned a little bit more about it. Yeah.
Oh, I think I read about that. I did. Yes, I read about that. Geez. Yeah. That's amazing. Was that for a high school course or credit or just like mission work or what was?
It was mostly mission work. So the trip to Mexico was mission work, and talk about like an eye-opening experience for a high school student is going like just south of the border and like seeing how people live and working of service to them. And then the one to Mexico, we actually planted coffee trees. Don't like quite remember it, but I have photos of it.
Wow.
But just like learning about how like buying products in an intentional way from another country can positively impact their lives.
So you were ready to understand the significance of the fair trade sticker in the window.
Yeah. I had some relation to it, or like I knew that a company that had that on its window was a company that would share some values with me.
Yeah.
So I applied there and I got an interview, and I remember after that interview, just desperately wanting that job. It was, I think, one of the last interviews really Tamika did for like on the floor baristas. And I just thought she was so cool.
She was cool. She is cool. And she's a good, I would sometimes overhear her interviewing. She was good. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, she is good. No, that's okay.
So you wanted the job. Yeah. You liked. Yeah.
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 And I luckily got it. I got the job. I don't know, the stars aligned. She saw something in me that resonated for her. So I started working there as a junior. And so starting to get to know like the St. Peter community a little bit more. I didn't do a lot of that as a college student up to that point. I think you can spend a lot of your time up on the hill and not really think much about St. Peter as a whole.
Yeah. What about summers? Did you go back home and then resume working when you came back, or did you say
that was the, at that time it was really like our schedule doesn't necessarily operate, around the college's schedule. It's a year round business. So, I was like, oh, heard, understood. Yeah. That makes sense.
I can hear that. Yeah. I hear her say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, as a Gustavus student, I was like, oh yeah, this does go on. So I stayed there. That was my first summer that I stayed, away from home. So
that's also a good experience.
Stayed there that summer. It was a great experience.
You just literally brought back a memory of Northern Illinois University and a summer I spent up there. It was so nice. It was so cool. I was working. I think I was working at a TV guide factory the night shift. It was horrible. But just having that summer, I remember that. Anyway, so you're doing like barista stuff. And then how do you go from that to co-owner? Tell us that story.
Well, a lot can happen in 6 years. I senior year of college wasn't quite sure what my next steps were going to be. I think, talking about being an introvert earlier and then stepping into a customer service role, it was a lot of face-to-face contact that I was very uncomfortable with in the beginning. But eventually I got pretty good at it. I would hide behind the espresso machine in the beginning. But then coming back to college for senior year and having a lot of time spent in the lab, And then also spending this time like with organic ingredients, I kind of felt a disconnect between, I don't want to say artificial, but I just kind of felt a little bit burnt out. And then like, not a lot of interaction with humans in a lab setting. So I wasn't feeling necessarily passionate about going to grad school right away, kind of just felt like I needed to pause and reevaluate what I wanted my next steps to be. And, you know, talking about being a mentor, I remember Tamika, she took me on a walk during J term of my senior year. And she was like, it was just like a person to person walk, not necessarily pitching that I should stay at River Rock, but really just talking about all the things that she could see me doing there, what the opportunities were, and even just staying in St. Peter and kind of talking about her life's path too. So, it was about January of that year that I was like, I think I'm going to stay working at River Rock. And my mom was like, what? You have a chemistry degree and you're going to stay working at a coffee shop. I was like, yes.
Yeah. Good for you. That's cool. Yeah. Tamika, it just makes my point. She was, where is she now? Hawaii? Is that what you said?
She's living in Hawaii with her son.
Still co-owner. But
I talk to her several times a week. Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. Sure. Yeah. And by the way, the other co-owners, tell us about Katie.
So Katie became a co-owner at the same time as me too. So we were both longtime employees at that point and kept on being, handed other responsibilities at the shop, becoming managers, becoming lead barista, lead trainer, things like that. And so the opportunity was presented to us from Tamika to become co-owners in the business. So we did.
That's really great. And by the way, Katie's last name, since we've said Tamika's last
name. Yeah, her maiden name is Kruger. So her dad was a professor at Gustavus.
Right. Mark Kruger.
Katie.
And what's her current last
Katie
name?
Katie Aho is her name.
Yeah, and her mom, Sarah, for a time worked at Gustavus too. I said, I didn't realize in fact, this was just the other day I was in there. I think I finally met Katie for the first time. I mean, talked to her. But yeah, I didn't know. I always wondered, you know, where Tamika was. And I just kind of assumed she was still the sole owner, although I wondered how that worked. She was away. But So it was really exciting to hear about. Katie, I guess, is an alum, but a near alum since her parents.
Yeah.
you're a real alum. That's cool. But anyway, Tamika, and you now too, Helena, I mean, you're the mentoring, it's so important. And I think the thing I like about it, you can speak more about this, but it's not just a job, right? I mean, it is that if you're an undergraduate, you're making money, but everyone who works there seems to understand what the mission of the place is. And maybe you could talk a little bit more about that. I mean, so... it's a place that serves coffee, tea, hot chocolate, whatever, and really good food, I think. But yeah, it's more than that, right?
Yeah, it definitely is. Otherwise, we're not doing what we set out to do. River Rock for me really kind of captures like everything that I value. For me, like the social justice part of it that I learned at a young age, and then the mentoring too that I received from Tamika, I really see myself now in a role to do that for the young women that we hire. And of course, we hire men too, but the applications seem to be rolling in as mostly women. A lot of our like mission really is like a community space set to serve our community, and that also includes our employees. So trying to teach them the things that I've learned, both in life, balancing your checkbook, how do you grocery shop and cook a meal for yourself at home, but also what are the ways that we can interact in the world and create a positive change through the things and actions that we take every day. And that both comes from like being an employee, I think, and also as a person outside of the walls of River Rock.
Yeah. And I don't think I'm making this up. I mean, I feel it. I mean, there are places where you go and there's a coffee shop I go to now in Minneapolis that's, locally owned and stuff. Same sort of thing. I mean, you just feel the vibe and you just know it's not, it's not just a business. There's more to it than that. And it's definitely a community space. And I don't, there aren't, I mean, is there really another, well, there's the wonderful co-op in town, but are you the only coffee shop now really in town? I'm in St. Peter. I'm trying to think.
I mean, there's some, the grab and go places. We have Caribou and Dunkin' Donuts now, but we're the only local chain, or I wouldn't even say chain.
Local. Well, so I love this story because you know, it's just, again, you know, who would have predicted, okay, you're going to go to Gustavus, major in chemistry and become a co-owner of River Rock. Now, what is it like to be a co-owner? Walk us through some of the challenges, first of all. And I don't mean just challenges in a bad way, just the responsibilities that you you have before you. Maybe because my parents were small business people. And so I, you know, my brother and I worked in the beauty salons, cleanup boys and getting coffee, clean, all that stuff. And maybe that's why I'm always very sensitive to, even when I'm having a great time and I'm lost in conversation, so I'm aware that that is only possible because of the work people are doing,
I mean,
whether they're waiting on me or, and so just tell us a little bit about the kind of, you know, your role in particular as co-owner, but you know, what it takes, right. To make, it must've been a pretty steep learning curve, even though you were, an intern there, but there's a lot of stuff I'm asking you, but take it.
Yeah. All right. I'll do my best. So it's kind of an interesting thing. Like the way I came into ownership isn't how everybody comes into ownership, right? So I was a barista there for 6 years before I stepped into ownership. And I definitely remember that first morning. It was January 1st of 2017.
Wow.
Of coming into the shop and being like, oh no, like the dirt in those corners is my responsibility. Like I think of it also kind of like as home ownership. So if something breaks, you're like, that's my water heater. I have to fix that. So, you know, just like, it was interesting going from, oh, I just have to accomplish this checklist. And of course we expect more of our baristas than that, but your ownership, your sense of ownership of space changes literally overnight. Which isn't a bad thing. I think I was like, oh, like this is, how do I translate this to my employees? Like, how do I make them care about the dust in the corners too? Like, how can I help them see those things? So it was kind of a unique perspective to come into it with. But I think one of the challenges, at least in our business, is that, you know, it's open every day. We are closed on Christmas Day. And, you know, even on my days off, I'm still thinking about like, oh, well, my business is still open. The people I employ are still there, like working and doing a great job. So I think that's one of the hardest part of being a business owner in this sector, you know, is it's operating every day. And so it takes a lot of work to operate that every day.
And you're thinking about
making sure you have enough supplies.
Exactly. Keep going. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but from my parents, they took one day off, I think, but it was a constant, you know, they're constantly thinking about it. So, by the way, I love that line you said a minute ago about, you know, how do I make my, whatever you said, my employees care about the dust in the corner. Exactly. Honestly, if I were a banker and I heard you say that, I would say, how much do you need, you know, a loan? But that's, you know, awesome. The dust in the corners matter, right? That's really, going. So you get there, you know, is there like a typical day for you? I mean, I suppose every day is different, I'm sure, but just in general.
And that's part of what I love. That it is different every day.
What are your, so, I mean, you're in charge of payroll, you're in charge. Do you do all the ordering, or the three of you together?
That's the great part about three owners, is that we really, like, all three of us, I think, have a unique skill set. So we are able to divide and conquer a little bit. And then, you know, the difference too between ownership and being an employee of the business, like, I'm still an employee of the business and I'm an owner too. So Tamika really does a lot of like the visionary work. So like guarding our next steps, like seeing what else other opportunities are out in the world, and also has a great perspective too. I think when you're in the business every day on the floor, you can kind of forget kind of what you're doing every day. Like,
that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's able to come back in, quarterly or whenever she's able to come back in and see things a little bit more clearly. And to me, or Katie does a lot of our HR work and also is the integrator. So she's the one who can kind of articulate Tamika's ideas and kind of say, like, well, this is how I can see that happening, or here's why I don't think that idea is going to work, knowing what I know from an operations standpoint.
It
And then
sounds
I
like, oh, go
do,
ahead. I'm sorry. Keep going. Keep going.
I do a lot of the menu development. So I do bringing in new coffee offerings, tea, food offerings, all of that stuff on the floor is what I'm working on in a day-to-day basis. I do education, continued education, equipment maintenance, vendor relations.
It's a lot. Wow.
It is a lot.
Wow. I have
And
to say, the
kitchen.
menu, God, so now I've learned I mean, awesome. It's like, I'm annoyed that I teach at 8 o'clock because I'd have to get there so early. Because last semester I was able to stop in and get really goody. I mean, the quiche is delicious. Sandwiches. Another favorite, by the way, I don't know if this was your idea. It's food. It's the salmon cream cheese. I buy the
Oh,
container.
thank you.
Oh my
Yes,
God. That
that
that's you. That is really good. And
Yeah,
it's so
it's the
good that
best.
my wife Kate, who usually, I mean, she loves it too. It's delicious. I mean, on a bagel or even just, I just eat it with chips. I should, but it's really good. Thank you for that. Yeah,
Thank you.
I get that. And then the coffee, that's the only coffee. I mean, I used to buy coffee from Zabar. I'm not a coffee snob, but I would buy it from Zabar's because a friend who used to teach in classics told me to how good it was from New York City. It was cheap, but now, well, what it used to, now it's Wonder State, right? Is that what it's called? Wonder State? Was it
Yep, we
Kickapoo
work with
before?
Wonder State.
Yeah,
Yes,
was
yep.
that the same as Kickapoo or whatever before
Yeah,
that?
they had a rebranding, I think around 2021 to Wonder State.
Okay. It's really good. And again, I'm not just saying this. This is the honest to God truth. That is the
Thank you.
best, at least when I get, what do you call it here? The pour over? Is that what it's called?
The
Yeah.
pour over.
It's the best. And I like light roasts. I'm not being really particular here. It's the best. I mean, it's the best. If I could
You're
have
my
that
ideal
coffee,
customer, Greg. This is great.
well, it's true. I'm not lying to you. And Patrick Geiser used to teach in social anthropology, and he and I would go there and we'd talk about that. Yeah, man, it's good coffee. Anyway, thank you for all that, all the good food stuff. So it sounds like you're a coherent group. I mean, that which is interesting because I wondered how that would work. Three co-owners, but it sounds like you've got it worked out pretty well. And I think
Three
you're,
cooks in the kitchen could be hard, but
yeah,
we
exactly.
work well together.
Right. And I hadn't thought about, I mean, literally Tamika has literal distance from the place, which is good. But then she also has you and Katie there because you need both, right? You need that kind
Yeah,
of
absolutely.
vision perspective, but you also need people who know what the hell's going on a day-to-day basis. And so I mean, how have you changed? I mean, if you don't mind me asking, because of River Rock, I mean, over time, so you're maybe less of an introvert, it sounds like, or maybe not, maybe definitely. But can you talk a little bit about that? How you think you've changed? I assume for the better or for the, I don't know. You're tired. You're exhausted.
That's an interesting question. I mean, I feel like the simplest way to say it is I feel like I am have become the person I was meant to be, like
Oh,
through
that's good.
nurturing at River Rock, which is maybe a little touchy feely, but it's really true. So I mean, I feel like I've learned so many life skills through working at River Rock and really learning about more of the ways that I was wanting to live my life, like learning about organic and cooking and all those things that interested me as a child. Like I really learned how to do and apply them to my life in a sustainable way. So I mean, and that's just my life skills. As far as other personal skills, like it's helped me to become a better leader. As an introvert, I don't naturally seek out leadership opportunities, and some of my growth at River Rock was being put into a management position. And I feel like that's some of the best learning about yourself as a person you can do is learning leadership skills and how to communicate with other people in a clear way and learn their learning skills and what works best for them, and also balancing schedules, which can be really personal too. So I feel like it's really just been a good crash course on how to be the person I want to be,
That's
I
awesome.
guess.
That's, I mean, To me, that's a beautiful answer and may have given me the title of the episode too. I think it's great. The other side of this, I wonder about, I assume you interact with other, there's a chamber of commerce, right? You go to those meetings and interact with other business people. What is that like? I mean, how much impact does the business community in St. Peter? I would think a lot on the town, but. In terms of, go ahead.
Yeah. St. Peter's interesting since it's right on 169. You know, we get a lot of foot traffic, which I think is really helpful to downtown businesses. I know early in the beginning, Tanico was really active in those chamber and all the small business groups that were going on too. And we're definitely still involved in them. So we're a member of the St. Peter Chamber. And, you know, Ed Lee, he's the leader of the St. Peter Chamber. He's in at least once a week, meeting with his group of fellows that like to get coffee on Wednesdays. So he's always there kind of checking in on what our needs are or asking, there's an event called Girls Day Out, for example, and like asking how that went, how they can improve upon it. And they also have Chamber Bucks too. So I can always walk down there and talk with Hadley.
That's good.
We actually just got back last week. We went to the Specialty Coffee Expo in Chicago, which it's an event that goes on every year where basically everybody in every sector of the coffee industry comes. So you have coffee producers there, you have roasters there, importers, and of course baristas too. And this year, I haven't gone since 2019. And we've had a global pandemic since then. So it was really the first time I've entered into that realm kind of after experiencing that. So there was a lot of lectures there. We always go for the lectures and also seeing what else is out there, but just kind of talking through like how businesses became resilient during the pandemic, what we can learn from it, how they learned how to support their business. So we're definitely involved in ways to do that. And I think it's important as far as business ownership goes to seek those opportunities out.
Yes. No, that's cool. I didn't know that also. I think that's great. I mean, you're part of it. You're part of an industry, right? And it's really global. But climate change is having an impact on that as well in coffee. So I grew up in the Chicago suburbs, I think I may have told you, but is that at like McCormick? Where does it take place?
Yeah. It was at McCormick Place.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. God, I would go nuts.
So I learned how to drive around Chicago. I felt very proud of myself.
It's you should.
It's a very easy city to navigate.
You should. next up, try Boston, then we'll talk.
If you haven't already. That was actually the last expo.
Oh, okay.
I will not be driving there.
That sounds so interesting though. And that's the other thing, of course, about River Rock and all the coffee shops I frequent. I can't say I deliberately seek it out, but I guess maybe I sort of do. That all that stuff about fair trade and thinking about I think you've had pictures up of the growers, there's a sense of where the coffee comes from and who these people are, and reinvesting, some of your profits in that or in the community.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you have, and the organic stuff, you care about the, earth, all that stuff is good, I think. And it just, I don't know, it shows up somehow. I feel it when I'm there. I know some people, I will be honest, complain about the prices at River Rock. I don't, I do not. And I never, I'm not lying to you. It never even occurred to me. And I am that way. And it's probably why I'll never be able to retire, because I just, if there's something that's good and excellent, I don't really, I should pay attention, but I don't. I mean, I honest to God, I mean, I've never said, oh my God, I just said, wow, that's really good. I'll have another. So, but it's a hit, right? I mean, I love going in there because they're town people, they're profs, they're students. Who's the egg guy? Was it Fred? Who was the egg man? Long time. He would come in the mornings, gray hair.
Oh.
You know who I mean.
Oh, are you talking about John?
John, not Fred. Yeah, I would always
see. John Phillips. Yeah, he was our first customer ever.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. John, is he passed away or is he still around? I don't know.
Yeah, he passed away during the pandemic, unfortunately. Aww. But yeah, I love hearing about people who like remember him. People still come in, they're like, who was that guy who would sit right there?
John. John. Yeah. I would walk in because he supplied eggs, right? I think for a time.
Yeah, he did for a number of years.
Yeah. Yeah. I would walk in and he'd be there with, you know, usually sometimes by himself, usually a group, and you know, hi, John. And I didn't know him well, but talked a little bit. It's just, yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
So are you a business person? Is that how you think of yourself? Or how do you, I'm just curious. I was thinking about that when I was, you know, thinking about the introduction. I don't know, because you are a business person, but maybe that's not how you think of yourself.
Yeah, it's definitely not the first word that comes to mind when I think about my job description. And I think some of that, you know, has to do with, you know, being an employee of River Rock first and then coming into ownership. But, you know, I think about it definitely more and more every day. The older I get, I'm like, oh, these are like decisions that I get to make. And that's like a unique opportunity I get to do, is kind of change my mind and come up with new ideas and implement them in my business.
Yeah.
So I think of it more and more, I would say. And also, you know, balancing so many different parts of my job too. Certain responsibilities fall on certain days. So some days I really truly feel like I'm just a barista and I'm just somebody who gets to like make good food and drinks, or come up with new menu items. Yeah. And then after that, I probably think of business ownership, but it kind of depends on the day.
That's cool. Yeah. I think, I mean, there's a lot of creativity and I don't think you've indicated it's a job that you know, I mean, you might want to change careers, who knows, but where you get bored, you're not doing the same thing over and over again. That's for sure.
Yeah. And obviously I've been here for 13 years. Like,
yeah,
that's why I've stayed, is that my job is always changing. Right. I've gone from being a barista to the position I'm in today. So
yeah. Yeah. 13 years. That's right. Since graduating. Now, have your parents come and seen you? I know your dad, you said your dad's in Texas, but is your mom okay now? She's not like, oh my God, what are you doing?
She's a huge supporter of us. Yeah. And she likes to say she's coffee educated now too.
Oh, wonderful.
Her and my stepdad actually bought an espresso machine. So she's definitely one of our biggest fans.
Excellent. I have two questions. One is about Gustavus, but the first one is, who does the chalkboard, the menu board? It's like, I always wonder, like, who does that? I mean, it's amazing. Yeah. How does someone write? Is that, I mean, is there a secret? Or you just find someone who knows how to, is it you? I mean, I don't know who does it. The writing?
I mean, it's about four of us. Okay. But mostly, so that was one of my first responsibilities as I was stepping more out of school and into a full-time job, was writing the chalkboards and the menu. But we have a really great person in marketing now, which has been wonderful. Okay. Her name's Michelle, and she takes a lot of pride in how those chalkboards
look.
Great.
That's cool. And I'm not kidding. I mean, you know, more than I do, that's no small thing. Cause if you walk into a place, this has happened to me, and I look at the chalkboard and it looks like, you know what, I don't care what the item is. I'm already turned off, you know? That is no small thing. Great job on that. Is it Michelle? Is that what she said her name is?
Michelle. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Mm-hmm. And then the last question is right, which I like to ask alums and faculty, and what's your case for Gustavus? I mean, what would you say in, you know, your elevator pitch for your alma mater?
Yeah. I mean, my pitch for Gustavus is like, it's a great opportunity to pursue different interests. You know, I think we've talked maybe about like five different interests that I've had, and I feel like Gustavus helped foster all of those in like unique little ways. So if you're interested in, you know, science, but also you are interested in political science, you can take both those classes and also come away with like a cultural understanding of the world. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's just also was kind of that stepping stone to like educate me into like becoming the person I wanted to be too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well said. Learning for Life at River Rock. That's my new podcast, I think.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah. Oh, this has been a pleasure. It's really been fun to talk to you more. I usually just say hello and, you know, would you be willing to podcast with me? Yes. I forget to email you. But yes, yeah, it's really, really fun. Thank you so much. As I said, I'm going to be heading down to River Rock shortly. So all the best. I know there's another location in Mankato I need to get to. We didn't talk about the sister business, the bakery. That's also a whole nother, I don't know, another podcast maybe. But thank you for all the work you do. Seriously. It's a lot of work. I just can only imagine. And it definitely It's an asset as far as I'm concerned. That and the co-op and others. There are other things also in town. Yeah. Really, really. I mean, what is a college town for God's sakes without a good co-op and coffee shop? That's one thing.
I know. We're so lucky in St. Peter.
No kidding. Really. Yeah. Well, Helena, thanks again, and I'll see you at River Rock.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you, Greg. I appreciate
it. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Learning for Life at Gustavus is supported by the Offices of Marketing and Communication and the Provost. The views expressed in this podcast are not necessarily those of Gustavus itself.